Maybe it was because Show Pony was out of commission and they were busy organizing the next swap meet run in his absence. Maybe it was because she'd sit wide-eyed and silent in the workshop for hours, looking like nothing so much as a miniature version of Ray, down to the goggles shoved into her curly hair. Maybe it was the 3 days straight of high winds and klaxons ringing cross-zone. Whatever it was, a week later, Grace was still with them, and none of them had even so much as suggested they do anything about it. Grace,
you can keep calling me Motor Baby,
she told Gerard from her perch atop the trunk of the Trans Am, drumming her heels against the back bumper while they waited for Mikey to finish haggling with his spare parts dealer. Was smart. She liked to tell that particular brand of jokes that 9-year-olds, or Frank, found particularly hilarious. Gerard gave him a withering glare when he heard Frank tell her the black, white, and red all over joke. Frank winked and delivered the punchline about newspapers. Grace shrieked with laughter. Frank looked infinitely appealing with that kind of easy smile on his face. With the swap meet approaching, the four of them, five of them, had to split their time and energy between Frank and Gerard's patrols and Ray and Mikey's supply runs. They spent a lot of time in the Trans Am. Mikey and Grace emptied every BLI vending machine they could hack, while Frank and Ray bartered for spare parts. Gerard, for his part, talked to the runners they met, marking the reported sites of scarecrow activity on a tattered zone map with one of Grace's crayons. Crayons in the desert. She'd come with four of them, red, yellow, green, and blue, stuffed in her pockets, squirreled away from Harmony House.
They didn't give them to us,
she'd confided in Gerard as they drew dragons, Grace's request, on scraps of heavy paper Gerard had found in the diner's kitchen.
We were only allowed pencil, for our math and writing lessons, you know? But one of the other girls found them in a cupboard somewhere and passed them out, and said not to tell. It was right before she turned 18, so she left Harmony House.
Grace had paused.
I wish she hadn't left before we could say thank you.
Gerard's stomach twisted. He was picturing a teenager, a blank wall, a can of spray paint. When Grace cocked her head at him, he'd forced a smile. You draw well, he told her.
My mom always told me that,
Grace had said, tugging at a dangling thread from her sleeve.
I used to draw her pictures every day, leave them under her pillow.
She started fidgeting after that, and soon enough was gone, back in the workshop, handing Ray bolts and bits of wire. As he was cleaning up, Gerard had noticed she'd taken her drawing with her. The next time they went to see Dr. D, Show Pony was up and moving around. Hesitantly, yes, but it was a start. Gerard didn't want to admit how petrified he'd been that they'd have to bury a friend. It had happened before to people they knew, runners from the swap meets that had zigged instead of zagged when they ran across a drac patrol. It was best when there was something to bury, though. If the dracs took you alive, there were no guarantees. It was the worst, though, when the dracs took you dead, because to BLI, that really wasn't an impediment. Gerard didn't want to think about being ghosted right now. They had other things to worry about, like Motor Baby. Show Pony and Frank were talking in low voices on the other side of the room, while Ray and Grace flipped through Dr. D's records. He was pretty sure they were making a playlist for his next show, because he could hear them talking, something about Zeppelin. He couldn't hear what the others were saying at all. Mikey nudged Gerard with his elbow. "Stop twitching and go over there," he said. "You have a say in things, too."
"No, I wish people would stop saying that," Gerard complained. "Since when am I the leader?"
"Since always. Stop acting like you're fucking surprised. You're not still on all that shit, okay? I recognize my brother again. This is who you're supposed to be." Gerard made a face. "You have a say in things, too," he sniped. "I know," said Mikey. "I figured that out already." Of course Mikey had figured it out already. If there was one thing Gerard could count on, it was Mikey's surprisingly deep grasp of things when his attention appeared to be elsewhere. He'd proved it the night of the campout in Cherry Cola, and he'd proved it when they'd talked about Frank. Gerard went to join Show Pony and Frank, and got a grin in response from Show Pony, as easy and beaming as ever. Frank gave him the edge of a smile and kept talking. Gerard settled into an easy slouch next to Frank, pretending to ignore the way their shoulders rubbed together when Frank shifted.
"I think I'd feel better if we kept her with us for a while, Ricky," Frank was saying in a low voice. "That run was planned for a long time, but even after we adjusted the timetable, if the Drax jumped you so quickly, I'm afraid there's got to be a hole in the runner network somewhere." Showpony made a face, and Frank added, "You know I'm right."
"Rule 3," Showpony said with a shrug.
"I don't give a shit about Rule 3 or any other rules, not when the kids are involved. If it's not someone I know I can trust, they're staying the fuck out of it from now on, you got me?"
"Loud and clear, ghoul," Showpony answered.
Gerard bit his lip.
After a week or so of playing telephone with Drac movements and monitoring the frequencies, unusual activity in Zones 1 and 2 turned out to be BLI vending machines getting a mysterious upgrade. Ray guns were now dispensable just like food and batteries. Dr. D frowned even more than usual when he found out, and refused to mention it on his broadcast.
"Go check it out?"
he asked Ray and Gerard, who were half underneath the console at the time, trying to replace a finicky circuit. Gerard collected Mikey and Motor Baby and took them for a car ride, leaving Frank behind to hold wires for Ray. He'd bet a week's salary worth of credits that one or both of them would end up singed by the end of the day. As long as it wasn't him again. The closest machine was at a service station just over the border in two. Gerard idled on the far side of the pumps, motor running, while Mikey and Motor Baby headed around the corner to get a better look. He saw Mikey slipping their homemade VendaHack code replicator into his jacket pocket as they climbed out of the car, and sighed. Mikey's gadgets always worked somehow, no matter how improbable it was that they would, but something always went wrong. They were back in minutes, grinning and carrying handfuls of supplies, including a shiny white and very fancy-looking ray gun.
"New model,"
Mikey told him, handing it over. Gerard studied it for a moment before setting it aside. He'd give it to Frank to take a closer look.
"Did you disable the security camera or just block it?" Gerard asked as he pulled back onto the road.
He was greeted by silence from the passenger seat, and he glanced over to see the smile disappear from Mikey's face.
"You didn't look for cameras, did you?" he added quietly. "Did you think they'd go to all the trouble to install that shit and not monitor it?"
Frick,
Mikey amended, looking back into the back seat where Grace was sitting, a pinched expression squeezing her face.
"Party's not mad," Mikey jumped to tell her. "He knows it was a mistake."
"We were really fast," she offered hopefully. "I'm the one that used the machine. Cobra told me how, but it's easy peasy. I'm just a kid, they don't know me."
Gerard didn't point out that if it got back to Scarecrow that they'd been seen with a kid, one of the analysts would, quite literally, make it their job to know her. When they got back to the station, Frank was indeed looking slightly singed, and Gerard raised an eyebrow at Ray, who shrugged innocently.
"Your parents should have named you Liability," Gerard told him.
"You used that line on me last week,"
Frank commented, sucking on his fingers absentmindedly. Gerard bit the inside of his cheek and looked away, grabbing the new ray gun as a diversion.
"And you deserved it," Gerard told him, handing the gun over. "Professional opinion?"
Frank took it and turned it over a few times, fiddling with the settings, sighting down the barrel, finally carrying it outside to take a few test shots.
"Not military grade," he pronounced. "Long recharge time between bursts, probably to stretch out how long until the charge dies. A temporary measure for stranded Drax, maybe? Not sure why BLI would risk stocking it out here, though."
"Unless they were planning on sending that many Drax out here,"
Dr. D pointed out, exchanging concerned glances with Gerard and Showpony.
"We'll keep our eyes and ears open," Showpony assured him.
"What are you going to do with that?"
he asked Frank, who was still holding the white gun.
"Teach Motor Baby to shoot," he replied promptly. "It practically has built-in training wheels."
Frank did, as promised, teach Grace to shoot, and despite the gun being far too heavy for her, she wasn't half bad.
"Better than me,"
Ray commented self-deprecatingly, watching over the rims of his aviators as he plucked at a splintery old guitar Mikey had found in an abandoned restaurant in one.
"You have other talents,"
Mikey replied, and Gerard pretended to gag. Mikey threw a handful of gravel at him. Gerard countered with a shoulder to the chest. Mikey went for the tender nerves at the nape of Gerard's neck and pinched, and when Frank and Grace rejoined them, Grace threw herself into the scuffle with a delighted war cry. "They say they got a runner in Zone 4 last night," Gerard said, bursting through the door to the diner with his rebreather clutched against his chest.
"What did I tell you about loud noises when I'm working with fucking C4?
Frank said calmly, setting a magnifying glass and a small screwdriver on the table in front of him.
"Who says? Who was it?"
"Dunno, maybe Manic Panic? He was out that way last I knew.
Last WKIL broadcast had Drac sightings, headed upzone to the Lucky Dog Motel. I'm going up there to check it out. Gerard dropped the helmet on a table, grabbing his mask and a handful of fresh batteries from their stash. He was out the door before Frank could even reply, and halfway to the Trans Am before he heard,
"Wait up, asshole! Did you forget the rule about not going anywhere alone?"
Frank had his shoulder rig hanging off one arm, and his mask pulled haphazardly over his hair. "Ray and Mikey are on a run with Motor Baby for swap meet shit. Why don't you want me to go?"
Because the scuttlebutt over the waves was that a mean-looking sports car, undoubtedly Corse's car, had been spotted heading that direction, and Gerard wanted to keep Frank and Corse as many zones apart as possible after last time. But that wasn't an excuse that Frank would be likely to listen to. For one thing, Frank still didn't know the personal reasons behind it. Gerard had been driving for a while, occasionally pushing handfuls of red hair out of his eyes, when it occurred to him to ask, "Where the fuck did you get C4?
Last track Mikey ghosted had it in his saddlebag. Lucky us. The base the Zone 2 boys took over has been hot for weeks. We're practically tapped out on munitions."
Frank had been frowning out the window, but he grinned suddenly.
"Oh well, there's always the old purification plant. Whiskey burns as well as anything else."
"Pyro," Gerard said.
"You didn't complain when I torched that drac party in that pumping station in 3.
"I never complain," Gerard replied easily. More easily than he felt like. Frank was one scary motherfucker when he wanted to be, and more so since the failed Harmony run.
"Bullshit."
Gerard swerved the car as a drac cycle came roaring up behind them. Frank leaned out the window and picked it off with a shot to the front wheel. He twisted back around, leaned close enough that Gerard could feel his breath on his cheek.
"Why'd you try to leave without me, G?"
Gerard swallowed. He sometimes thought, especially after a string of particularly lonely nights, that Frank did it on purpose, pushed the right buttons to get what he wanted. It didn't matter, really. Gerard couldn't lie for shit. Not to any of them, not anymore. There was one big lie holding this whole thing together, like a sandcastle, and if one little part collapsed, it might take everything with it. Gerard thought about it constantly. "Corse was spotted heading this way," he mumbled, fingers clenching harder around the steering wheel.
"Motherfucker," Frank growled in his ear. "Do you have a fucking death wish?"
"You blew up his car, Frank. He told you when he caught you he'd put out cigarettes in your eyeballs."
"He got a new one, apparently, and he's got to catch me first."
"Which is why you shouldn't be waltzing into his clutches."
"Waltzing, G?"
The smirk was back. "What the fuck ever? I just want to confirm the situation in 4. It's not a two-person job." "And you're not the one he really wants, but he won't hesitate to use you," Gerard thought. Gerard pulled over a couple hundred yards from the Lucky Dog Motel. They left the car behind some scrub and walked the rest of the way. The sign, an overly cheerful cartoon dog with a four-leaf clover, was leaning even farther off perpendicular than it was the last time they'd been up this way. There wasn't much activity, but a telltale cluster of motorcycles and a sleek Italian sports car made Frank grab briefly at Gerard's sleeve.
"He's here," Frank whispered. "Somewhere."
"We don't have a lot of time," Gerard murmured back. "We gotta split up, see if they're holding anyone here, or..."
He cut himself off. "Or the alternative." Frank grimaced. "Gotcha. I'll take the West Wing."
Gerard nodded in acknowledgement. "Meet me back at the car if we don't find anything."
"Promise me you won't do anything stupid," he wanted to say.
He wanted to say more. He wanted to kiss the frown lines between Frank's eyebrows. He did none of these. Instead, Gerard crept around the building to the end of the east wing. Half the room doors were hanging open, busted down by scavengers ages ago. Gerard checked anyway, poking his head in room after room. Some of the doors were shut, but there were no signs of life. Runners used to use the motel as a rendezvous, but it was too close to Scarecrow's patrol routes now. He felt like the search was taking forever, and his skin was already crawling by the time he reached one particular room, close to the apex of the two wings, where a trickle of light leaked out into the hallway. Easing open a partially closed door, he saw a lit lamp, a sea of red on the bed, a body, he corrected himself, wearing yellow shirt, black vest. His chest felt tight. His heart skipped a beat.
"Frank,"
he whispered, rushing over to the bed.
"How?"
He stumbled to a stop a few steps away from the mattress. It was a close enough resemblance from a distance but up close he could tell it was just a similar style of clothing. It wasn't Frank, he realized with a sick rush of relief. And a rush of sickness, because whoever he was, the things that had been done to him were...
"Such a shame you had to show up and interrupt," said a voice behind him.
All the hairs on the back of Gerard's neck stood up. He turned to see Corse leaning negligently against the door jamb.
"Though he wasn't who I thought he was under the mask."
He paused, apparently just to let his words sink in, and then added,
"And after all that, he didn't have any useful information. Shame."
Gerard darted his eyes to the breezeway behind Corse, but it was empty of Drax. It was just him and Corse, and the corpse of someone who Gerard suspected was Manic Panic on the bed. Corse had done that, was all he could think. Corse had done that, thinking, wishing, it was Frank. He could escape this room, maybe, but there was no escaping that knowledge.
"What's useful," Corse continued, straightening up and taking a step further into the room, "is that you've showed up, party poison," he purred.
"How exactly is that useful? I won't tell you anything," Gerard snapped, dropping his hand to the vicinity of his ray gun. Corse shook his head slowly back and forth, tucking his jacket back over the grip of his own gun.
"You're not going to shoot me, Gerard," he drawled. "Are you? You didn't shoot me last time either, and you could have."
He stepped closer. Gerard was caught, staring at the column of his throat corded with tendons, at the reptilian eyes partly hidden by smoked glass shades, which he then pulled off and tucked away in a pocket.
"No, I didn't think so. Maybe I just wanted to see you."
"Go ahead and look." Gerard lifted his chin defiantly. "What, is this supposed to be touching? You missed me?"
"Oh, Gerard, it's hard to miss you when I'm always watching you."
He smiled, and it was terrifying.
"You had to have realized. Look alive, sunshine."
Corse was close enough to reach out now, and he did, skimming hand up Gerard's arm. Gerard shuddered. Those hands had touched him in so many other ways, and he couldn't stand it now. He looked away, but that put his eyes on the corpse on the bed, so he looked back at Corse.
"Did you think it was him?" Corse murmured.
"Even after I realized my mistake." He cupped Gerard's neck, pressed his thumb against the pulse under his jaw.
"It was still satisfying to pretend."
"You'll never touch him," Gerard hissed. He was so angry he was seeing stars, but he was frozen. "Him or any of them, I'll kill you for that. I promise you." As terrifying as Corse's smile was, it was more terrifying when he stopped.
"We'll see about that."
He twisted a bright red strand of hair around his fingers.
"When you're back in the city, this has to go," he sneered.
That was the last straw. "It will never happen," Gerard snapped, aiming a shove at the center of Corse's chest. "I'd rather die." Gerard gasped as Corse reeled him back in with a handful of hair, grabbing both sides of his face in a punishing grip. He scrabbled helplessly at Corse's wrists.
"That trick won't work twice," Corse growled, squeezing tighter and tighter until black spots started swimming in Gerard's vision,
and he struggled to suck in a breath, hoping to whatever gods had forsaken them that he would go quicker than the poor soul on the bed, when he heard a wordless snarl and a sickening thud, and the wicked pressure was suddenly gone. He was falling, and someone's arms were around him, and he flailed automatically until he heard a "Gee!" He smelled cordite and cigarettes and moaned, curling into the embrace as Frank whispered frantically, "Come on, please walk, help me here." Then the hot wind was swirling sand around his legs, and he squinted against the sun, stumbling automatically through the dust to the car, just as the sound of a commotion and motorcycle exhaust pipes registered from the direction of the motel. Frank shoved him in the passenger seat and jumped behind the wheel, gunning the engine. The wind whipped his hair across his face, and he shuddered again, fumbling for his ray gun. But the pursuers apparently went the wrong way, too far behind, and Frank tossed his own gun in Gerard's lap and jerked the Trans Am onto a dirt access road, winding through the desert until he could stop behind an outcropping of rock. He was half in Gerard's lap immediately, kneeling across the center console and running his fingers across his face and throat.
"What the shit, Gerard? Was that Manic Panic in there? What happened? What was he doing to you?"
His voice cracked, still half frantic, eyes black with... something. Anger, maybe. Fungul wouldn't be afraid.
Maybe Frank would. If he knew. Gerard was scared enough for the both of them.
What the hell did you do to him, Frankie?
Clocked him with my pistol grip. Frank muttered. I wasn't going to shoot him. You were right there. He sounded so disgruntled that suddenly Gerard was laughing, mostly soundlessly, letting his head fall forward against Frank's as his shoulders shook. Gerard. Gerard. G. Frank was calling his name, fingers sliding into Gerard's hair to tilt his face back up.
He wants me back, Gerard whispered, not caring that Frank didn't know, didn't understand.
He'd have to know now. Things were going to get a million times worse. No. Never gonna happen. No.
Then, out of nowhere, he was kissing Gerard, tiny brushes of pressure against Gerard's cheeks and lips, and Gerard gasped and grabbed a handful of his shirt, reeled him in, and opened his mouth. Impossibly, Frank jerked like he was surprised, too. Gerard hadn't thought he was hiding his feelings particularly well. Then he was groaning into Gerard's mouth and melting into him like he resented the space between them. Gerard resented it, just like he resented everything else in their way. Gloves, holsters, jackets, clothes, the stupid bucket seats in the stupid car, and the buzz of static warning them it was suicide to stop running for long. Frank, rough, unwashed, grimy Frank, with dirt on his face and gasoline splashed on his skin, was the best thing he'd tasted or smelled or felt in forever. Then Frank was entirely in Gerard's lap, fingers twisting in the ragged ends of Gerard's hair, rocking his hips against Gerard's. Gerard slid a hand up the back of his shirt, under his vest, fingers slipping across the sweaty skin as he tugged him closer, and Frank was muttering dirty things against his lips. Swear words, Gerard's name, things Gerard had only ever dreamed of hearing, when in the distance there was a horrendous explosion. They jerked apart. Gerard's chest hurt from the breath he choked on, from the sudden increase in his heart rate. Frank twisted himself around, pulling himself up through the T-top to scan the horizon.
Shit, he hissed. They blew up the fucking motel.
You weren't actually going to go back? Gerard gasped out the question as Frank threw himself back into the driver's seat.
Stupid, really. Of course Frank was going to go back. They barely knew Manic Panic, but he wouldn't have been the first fallen zone runner Frank had insisted on burying.
The zones were dotted with memorials made out of tires, rusty car parts, scrap wood, spray paint, whatever was on hand. Bodies were hidden and then buried in secret. Everyone did it. It was the only safeguard anyone had against being ghosted. Gerard had helped construct his share.
"Guess I'm not now," Frank grumbled. "We gotta clear out of here."
He paused and added, his voice gentler,
"If you're all right?"
If he was all right. Gerard laughed. He was scared, he was woozy, his head was pounding, he was angry, he was viciously turned on, and every time he stopped looking at Frank, he saw the mutilated shell on the motel bed. He'd been less all right, he supposed. Maybe when Showpony had been shot. Maybe that time Mikey went all evil fucking Knievel to lose a drac and they thought he was a goner. When he'd pulled Frank away from a seething barehanded course in the smoking shell of his second favorite car. He shuddered. Frank was rocketing the Trans Am down a spider's web of connecting access roads, way too fast, as usual, but his hands were steady on the wheel, profile sharp in silhouette against the setting sun. When they pulled back into the dirt lot outside the diner, Mikey and Ray were back, motorcycles shrouded with a dusty drop cloth back by the gas pumps. Frank killed the engine and slammed out of the car. He was already halfway across the bumper by the time Gerard got out of the door and waved him off.
"I'm fine," he said, and Frank leaned on the hood of the car instead, lighting a cigarette and staring across the chaparral. Gerard joined him, propping the sole of one boot against the bumper and taking the cigarette Frank handed him. His eyes caught Frank's when he leaned in for the light Frank offered, and he straightened, exhaled a small puff of smoke, and held the eye contact.
"You gonna tell me what you were talking about back there?"
Frank's voice was mild enough, but Gerard knew he wasn't going to be distracted.
"I don't know if..."
"Because I think it's only fair. I've been sticking my neck out for you since I met you, man. I don't..." He stopped. "I trust you. I just... I want to know. I want to..."
He bit his lip. Gerard wanted to touch his mouth, clenched his hand into a fist by his thigh instead. He took a deep breath. "A long time ago, a fucking lifetime ago, when Mikey and I still lived in the city, before we ran away, before we knew, we worked for them, for BLI. Frank, who'd been fidgeting, went completely still, and Gerard swallowed around a suddenly dry throat.
"I know that," Frank said carefully. "Mikey worked in the lab with Ray, doing robotics stuff, and..."
Yeah, they did. And I was wasted all the time on booze, time warp, zoner. Mikey was the only reason I ever left the house. I got cleaned up, though, because of him, because he worked for them, and they wanted me. Scarecrow, you don't exactly refuse. He stopped. He stopped because his voice was shaking. Frank was turned toward him now, eyes wide, cigarette smoldering, forgotten in his fingers.
You worked for Scarecrow.
Frank sounded like he was trying to figure something out. Was this when Frank would finally remember? Gerard looked down at his own cigarette and tossed it away, shook his head to clear it, running rough fingers through the tangles of his hair. For them. For him. But the rest of it... it all just happened. I never thought he'd take an interest in me, and... he's not exactly someone you say no to.
Gerard, Frank blurted, and Gerard raised his hand, palm out.
Don't. Just don't say anything yet.
Frank shut his mouth, but Gerard could still watch the thoughts play across his face. He was disturbed, Gerard could tell, and angry, but that wasn't the emotion that won out. He slowly reached out and matched his palm to Gerard's, folding their fingers together. He didn't say anything. Gerard didn't deserve someone that good, and it hit him like a dart.
I was fucked up, and I was stupid. He's very convincing when he wants to be, and I had no idea what I was doing. I didn't know.
Gerard. Frank's voice was firmer this time. Are you explaining or apologizing?
He was still holding Gerard's hand, so instead of flinging his hands up into the air, Gerard was reduced to a full-body shudder. Don't you think I should be apologizing? He's not... I walked out on him. I betrayed him, and he's never going to forget that. That's not even counting all the things that I've done since. But you... he'd leave you alone, maybe, if it wasn't for me.
Gerard, Frank said for the third time. Gently, this time. I think I've done plenty to piss him off on my own. We all have.
He stopped, raised an eyebrow.
And it's not like we're gonna stop.
Gerard's breath caught. Frank was beautiful, painted red by the setting sun, looking all the more fearless with his solemn mouth and earnest eyes, and the bottom dropped out of Gerard's stomach, fear and guilt warring with something more. Bigger. Shinier.
Did I say we were gonna stop? He asked with a hint of his usual swagger. Hell no, Frank answered, the corner of his mouth lifting. Full speed ahead.
He pitched his cigarette butt into the dirt and leaned closer, shoulder bumping Gerard's as they pressed their clasped hands to Gerard's chest.
I guess if I stick to our agreement, it's your turn, he murmured, to ask me a horribly personal question, if you want.
You kissed me, Gerard blurted, before he could get control of his mouth.
You kissed me back. That's not really a question.
Is it? Was it a holy shit we're still alive thing, or... The enormity of his hope battled the regret, the self-hatred, the chaos and callousness and mental fucking instability that was their lives out here, and became overwhelming. If he could just have this one thing, he would earn it, Gerard told himself, if it was the last thing he did, and it very well could be. Frank smiled unexpectedly, a small private smile that Gerard had never actually seen before. He wanted to see it again. He wanted to die seeing it.
It's not exactly how I envisioned our first kiss.
Our first kiss. The fact that Frank had thought about it threw him enough that he blurted out the first thing to cross his mind. It's not really, though. Frank's blank look told Gerard that he didn't understand. I knew you didn't remember the first time, Gerard said. He couldn't keep a tiny ooze of disappointment out of his voice. But I do. No more secrets.
The first time?
Frank's voice was quiet now. I remember everything about it, Gerard said, equally quiet. I ought to. I was 4 days clean of the fucking BLI drugs, and you were the first person other than him to touch me in... a long time.
No, I wasn't, Frank said automatically.
His fingers jerked in Gerard's, and he tugged Gerard to his feet, looking him up and down carefully.
We've never... Really? But...
Look at me, Frank, Gerard insisted. It's just fucking hair dye. Frank reached out with his free hand and pushed Gerard's hair out of his face, looking him just as carefully in the eyes.
That was you?
Gerard could practically see the gears clicking together.
Fuck, G, that was the cream of the crop of the BLI execs that night. I kept fucking waiting for the Drax to descend. The guys said I had a guardian angel watching over me, and I fucking laughed. Figured I got lucky.
He rubbed at his eye, like he did when he was tired, when Dr. D was giving him crap, when...
You had to have figured it out. What did you do, lie to their fucking faces?
Gerard just stared at him for a few beats, then said, Well, yeah.
For me. A stranger. The enemy.
Frank's mood had clearly taken a turn. He pushed himself off the hood of the car, took a few steps away. When he spoke again, his voice was muffled, face turned away.
Scarecrow never did come after me.
Scarecrow didn't try to find you. I did. You were like a ghost. The files I could hack were no help. I wouldn't have turned you in, Frank. I just wanted... You weren't my enemy. We're both the enemy now. Gerard paused. You had to know I was still out there somewhere. Didn't you ever think about me?
Dangerous territory.
Frank sighed.
I can't believe you were working for him.
He cut himself off with a bitter little laugh.
Not just working.
I wasn't really working for him anymore, not after I got off the BLI drugs. I'd been so proud of myself for actually finding something I was good at, that I hadn't stopped to think about what I was actually doing. Eventually I figured it out. Being clean, really clean, helped. Mikey helped. Frank shifted to look back at Gerard, eyes flitting up and down Gerard's body.
Not just working, he repeated.
Gerard held back a sigh. The sleepless nights, the chilly pre-dawn watches in the Trans Am with Frank breathing quietly beside him. Course was never far from his thoughts in those moments, and he'd already thought of every possible explanation. Sometimes you realize someone's terrible for you, and you stay with them anyway, Gerard said quietly. Doesn't mean you don't recognize something really good when you see it. He stepped close enough to wrap his hand around Frank's arm and tug him close again. Meeting you, the first time, gave me the motivation to stay clean. Which brought me back my brother, which sent me running out here, which brought me you again. Can you blame me for thinking that means something?
I'm pretty sure it means you have fucking awful taste in men, Frank sniped, but he didn't pull away, and Gerard leaned in, touched Frank's cheek with his free hand.
Frank stood still for a moment, then turned his head.
Enough,
he said quietly. Frank.
Weather sirens are about to start,
Frank said, and though Gerard was still unable to predict the weather as well as Frank or Showpony, he trusted Frank to know his shit.
We need to go inside.
Frank pulled away from Gerard's grip and headed for the diner door. It wasn't like him to walk away from a conversation, much less a fight, though Gerard was pretty sure this hadn't been a fight, and Gerard could only stare. Inside, Grace was eating dinner with Mikey and Ray, back from their run. Initially, they'd balked at taking her out on the motorcycles, but she'd insisted she wanted to try it, nagged until Ray had taken her for a short ride one afternoon. She'd loved it so transparently that they had allowed her to go on their shorter, safer runs ever since. Mikey gave them both a narrow-eyed stare. They'd been outside talking for a long time, and heaven only knew what type of expression each of them was wearing. It's okay, Gerard mouthed at Mikey, but when they grabbed food and chairs of their own, Grace piped up with a great deal of 9-year-old concern.
Your neck! She said to Gerard. You're hurt!
Gerard reached up to feel for a wound. He knew he'd have bruises for days, but he couldn't bear to go look in the cracked mirror in the bathroom. After all this time, this was the first time Course had left marks, and Gerard didn't want to think about what that meant.
What happened?
Ray asked around a mouthful of beans. Gerard attempted to communicate, not in front of the kid, in the brotherly shorthand he and Mikey had perfected long ago, mostly a series of nods and eyebrow wiggles. Ray understood and nodded back, but it was just a beat too late. Grace was already looking back and forth between them and frowning.
I'm not a baby, she said disdainfully.
Then what are you? Gerard shot back without thinking.
A killjoy, she replied promptly. Like you guys. I'm 9, party. I know how to keep secrets.
Gerard thought back to Grace's prized crayons, hidden from the wardens of Harmony House, to Frank saying to Showpony,
I brought you out here for a reason.
They'd let her stay out here with them. They'd taken her into harm's way enough times by now that she had a right to know. He took a deep breath and told her, Scarecrow is after us now more than ever. Me, and Fungul, and the rest of us. And they're closer than I thought. Somebody died today, Motor Baby. Somebody who didn't run fast enough, or hide well enough.
People die, Party,
she said, eerily matter of fact. Then again, she was good at keeping secrets.
He didn't have any idea of the kinds of things she'd seen before, and after, her stint at Harmony House. "Are you sad?" she continued, leaning closer, bending over the arm of her chair to whisper.
"Do you need a hug?"
Frank caught the back of her chair and set it back on all four legs before she could tip it over. It was enough of a diversion for Gerard to swallow the shout of hysterical laughter that bubbled up in his chest. "Yes," he answered with a measure of composure. "I would like a hug." Grace was out of her chair and into his arms before he could even blink, and he rubbed her back and rested his cheek against her halo of hair for a moment before gently moving her back to arm's reach. "This is why we need you to keep being brave, and if we ask you to do something, kiddo, you need to listen. That's what it means to be part of a team." Later that night, when Ray was off putting Grace to bed, Gerard lounged in the vestibule of the diner with Mikey and Frank, watching low-flying clouds of something undoubtedly noxious blow across the sky. "Did you actually give the kid the 'there's no I in team' speech in there, G?" Mikey asked.
"Is that the BLI corporate training coming out party?" Frank drawled, sparking a cigarette. "What pearls of scarecrow wisdom can we expect next?"
Despite the sarcastic tone, the upturned corner of his mouth suggested he was joking. Gerard was still taken aback for a moment, and Mikey opened and shut his mouth several times in succession, a vast show of surprise for him.
"You told him?" his expression said. "He told me," Frank answered out loud. Clearly he was getting good at reading their shorthand, too.
Mikey looked over at Frank.
"And?" "And what? We're all running from something," Frank answered.
"We figured you'd be pissed no one told you." Mikey said it expressionlessly, but the fact that he'd said it at all demonstrated his level of concern.
"You told me now."
"Really?" Mikey asked. "That's all you're gonna say?" Frank blew a cloud of smoke in their general direction.
"If I have something else to say, I'll say it to your brother," he said dismissively, but he didn't even look in Gerard's direction.
Mikey flicked Gerard a look, and Gerard just shrugged. Right now, Frank was as closed off as he'd ever been. The Frank who'd let Gerard touch him, caress his face, that Frank was the only Frank Gerard could think about now. Gerard knew he was in there. He just didn't know how far under the surface he'd be forced to look. Not looking was not an option, not with the taste of Frank's mouth still lingering in the corners of Gerard's lips. When they went back inside, they scattered to the far corners of the diner without any attempts at small talk or idle amusement. After hearing the rest of Frank and Gerard's story at the diner, it had been clear all of them were up for nothing more than seeking what few moments of relative privacy they could steal. But Gerard inevitably spent his thinking about Frank. He'd finally resorted to pacing, which was the only reason he was so close to Motor Baby's door when the whimpering started. He froze, then took a few steps closer to the closed panel, then slipped quietly through the door and knelt next to her mattress. "Hey, kiddo. Hey, it's all right." He smoothed her hair away from her face, clasped a hand around the point of her shoulder, and held on. Grace shuddered herself fully awake and flung herself into his arms, suddenly sobbing outright. Gerard didn't know what to do. She'd had nightmares a few times before, but someone else had always gotten to her first. Eventually he could make out words twisted up in Grace's sobs, but he didn't understand much more than "Mom." That was probably all he needed to understand, though.
"Hush, Motor Baby, I know, but you're with us now," he crooned. "With us, and we're glad."
She clung to his neck, and he rocked her, and then a small scuffling sound caught his ear, and he looked up. Frank was hovering in the doorway, watching silently, and when Gerard met his eyes, he turned and walked away, just as silently. It took a while for Grace's breathing to settle back down, and Gerard rocked her until she was relaxed and let him tuck her back into her raggedy quilt with barely a murmur, and let himself back out into the corridor. It was late. The office where they slept was quiet, but Gerard only hesitated for a moment. Sleep wouldn't come, not easily, not for him. He climbed the ladder to the roof instead. A small figure stirred over in the shadows by the tilting sign letters. Frank, of course. Gerard couldn't even bring himself to feel surprise. Frank didn't show any surprise either. He was sitting with his knees drawn up against his chest, watching far-off methane-laced clouds flit across the moon, and when he heard Gerard's approach, he shifted slowly onto his knees, sitting back on his heels and preparing to stand. Gerard didn't let him get that far. He crossed the roof with a few swift steps, dropping to his knees and clasping Frank by the shoulders, tugging his body close and kissing him, licking into his mouth without hesitation or warning.
"Gee,"
Frank groaned against Gerard's lips.
Tell me you don't want me,
Gerard murmured,
and I'll stop. Tell me.
Their hips were snug together, and he could feel that Frank was as hard as he was. His lips wandered along Frank's jaw to his ear and back.
Tell me,
he urged. Of course I fucking want you, Frank panted. Damn you to hell. I'm sure that's where I'm headed, Gerard replied, pushing Frank's vest off his shoulders to land with a thump on the concrete roof, shrugging out of his own dead Pegasus jacket and sending it after the vest. The surface was still warm from the day's sun, rough under his palms when he pushed Frank down to lie on the discarded clothing.
But not yet. Let me fuck you. Please, Frank.
Frank moaned when Gerard's teeth fastened once more on the blade of his jawbone. Who do you think you are, Gerard?
The thorn in your side? The voice in your ear, if you trust me.
That wasn't really a... Oh, fuck, gee, just fuck me, Frank hissed when Gerard palmed over his dick.
Strip first,
Gerard murmured, chuckling when Frank immediately shoved him out of the way to pull off his shirt. The noise froze in his throat when he caught sight of the seldom visible designs crawling across Frank's chest and arms. The edges of Frank's tattoos mocked him constantly, but he always forgot the sheer effect of all that art. Frank twisted a hand in Gerard's shirt collar and tugged him close to nip at his neck. You too, motherfucker. He shoved Gerard away again to pull at the fastenings of his boots and pants, wriggled out of the mass of fabric until he was lying propped on his elbows, naked and hard, glowing skin and twisting ink in the moonlight. Gerard followed suit, absently stripping off the rest of his clothing, reaching out a hand to trace the curve of the bomb on Frank's sternum. Frank grabbed his hand and spit into his palm, and Gerard froze with a strangled noise of surprise, eyes flying to Frank's. Frank returned the look evenly, eyes dark, as he guided Gerard's fingers down between his legs, behind his balls. Well? He asked. This is what you... He gasped and stuttered into silence as Gerard traced the sensitive skin around his opening, and then pushed in with a gentle finger.
Yeah,
Gerard whispered.
That's what I want. You're what I...
He trailed off, biting his lip in concentration as he closed his free hand around Frank's cock, jacking it in an almost even rhythm as he fingered Frank open with his other hand. Frank just gasped again and writhed under his hands, under Gerard's lips, as he licked his way across Frank's chest and up to his mouth. Soon enough, Frank was muttering against his mouth,
I'm gonna...
And Gerard sped up his strokes until Frank arched into his grip and came in Gerard's hand. Gerard pulled back far enough to close his now-slick fingers around his own cock, hissing at the contact with his own hot skin. He lined up and pushed into Frank with one single slow motion, and Frank arched under him, equally slowly, as he wrapped his legs around Gerard's waist and urged him closer. Gerard wrapped Frank tightly in his arms, breathing slow and measured through his nose as he rocked his hips against Frank's. Frank was tight and perfect, as warm underneath him, around him, as the wind tickling the skin of his back was cool. Gerard didn't want this to be over, but he could feel his control edging away with every thrust, and Frank was gasping Gerard's name and other half-formed words as their lips met and wandered, trailing kisses over each other's faces. Finally, Gerard could do nothing but squeeze his eyes shut and let go, coming with his hand twisted in Frank's hair and his mouth pressed against the scorpion on Frank's neck. The wind was picking up again. Gerard rolled off of Frank and to the side, keeping his arms tight around him so that Frank was still cradled against him. The zipper on his jacket was digging into his shoulder blade a little, but Frank was warm and solid, and smelled like sweat and cigarettes and cum, and Gerard didn't care. He looked back up at the sky.
They're sort of beautiful, he said softly.
Hmm? Frank mumbled. The clouds? For toxic gases floating around in the sky, sure.
How romantic.
If you're looking for romance, you've got the wrong guy, Frank grumbled.
Have I?
Gerard said softly. Frank turned his head slowly, met Gerard's eyes. His own were dark, his gaze velvety thick.
I've got nothing, nothing but my mask and my gun, Frank said simply. It's hard to make promises.
I have a stolen car and a pocket full of enemies.
Gerard pushed closer, nuzzled at Frank's jaw until he lifted his mouth to meet Gerard's.
Frank, he said, I need you.
Frank sighed into his mouth, kissing him until their skin was too chilled to continue. They tugged their clothes into something passing for fully dressed and climbed back down to ground level. The diner was dark and silent, and when Frank pushed open the door to the office bunk room, they were greeted by two threads of sleeping breath from the guys. Frank pulled his boots back off and settled onto his mattress, curling up with his back to Gerard, and when Gerard followed suit, he stared at the dark smudge of Frank's shoulders until he couldn't stand it anymore. He reached out and slid his hands around Frank's waist, tugging until Frank's back was tucked securely against Gerard's chest. Frank didn't resist. One of the last things Gerard felt before drifting off to sleep was Frank's fingers settling gently over his own. Gerard hadn't actually spent a lot of time considering what it would mean to tell Frank the whole truth, and to be forgiven the omission. As it turned out, it sometimes meant everything, and it sometimes meant exactly nothing. It did reliably mean one thing, though. Gerard could touch Frank all he liked now, even though they barely had time to sleep these days. Scarecrow had discovered and captured one of the runner's reclaimed oil wells. Now there was a permanent geyser of flame near Silver Dollar Creek in Zone 2, and sharp eyes in the zones were tuned to gas gauges like they'd only ever been tuned to the barrels of ray guns. As often as not, they ate on the run, tin cans and meal replacement bars. Tilting the car seats back for an hour or two of rest in the shade of a rock outcropping or a stand of scrub pine was less interminable when he had Frank's busy mouth to wake him for his turn-on watch. As if they didn't have enough to worry about, after the third or fourth attempt in as many weeks to siphon from the reserve tanks they shared with WKIL and the Cyanide Dolls, their two closest neighbors, the four of them, the fabulous Killjoys, as everyone called them these days, got a bigger shock. They dropped Grace off with Showpony for the afternoon to go pay a visit to a dead Pegasus station in 4, and when they pulled alongside the pumps, they were greeted by their own faces, larger than life and daubed with a crimson X, glaring out from a line of posters on the garage bay doors. "Exterminate? That's new," Gerard commented. "That's not good," Ray said, peering around the gas pumps at their four faces.
"I'd like to see him try," Frank muttered.
He got out of the car and walked over to the magazine rack, spitting on the ground in the general direction of the posters and strolling back with a paper. He tossed a copy of Shiny in Mikey's direction while Ray went to negotiate with the station attendant. Mikey flipped through the magazine for a minute, frowning, and then he threw it through the T-top, where it almost whacked Gerard in the face. "Sorry," he said vaguely, wandering off to poke at the BLI vending machine. Gerard tipped his head back against his headrest and watched Frank flip pages. After a minute, Frank strolled off after Mikey, probably low on cigarettes again, and Gerard was distracted by Ray's slightly raised voice.
"What do you mean, reward?" Ray was saying to the masked attendant. "I don't give a fuck if there's a reward. How long have we been coming here?"
The attendant shrugged.
"And you won't fucking take them down?"
Gerard's eyes narrowed, and he opened his car door. He rounded the hood of the Trans Am, and Ray glanced in his direction and shook his head minutely. Ray sighed and ran a hand through his hair, then looked back at the attendant.
"Two boxes of soldering supplies," Ray said casually, "delivered by tomorrow, and the posters come down and you've never seen us."
He leaned against the passenger door and folded his arms across his chest. The attendant looked from Ray to Gerard, and after a moment he nodded.
"Good choice,"
Gerard said quietly, then in a louder voice,
"Cobra, Fungul, ready or not?"
They were gassed up and peeling out in a minute or less. The car was silent for a few minutes, faces turned toward the windows, hands, from what Gerard could see in the rear view and from the corner of his eye, draped too casually near the grips of ray guns. Gerard took a looping, circuitous route back to Dr. D's, and no one commented. They startled a lone drac near the intersection of Route Guano and Resurrection Road, and Mikey picked him off with a couple of well-placed shots.
"We're screwed, aren't we?" he said when he turned back around.
"You're screwed,"
Dr. D greeted them the next time they walked into his lair.
"Always such a pleasure to see you, Doc," Gerard drawled. "You want to electrocute me again today, too, for shits and giggles?"
"That was your own damn fault, sunshine. Jet and Cobra never have a problem with my wiring."
"I feel so special," Gerard told him without real heat, rolling his eyes at Frank, who patted him on the shoulder.
"You are special, party."
Frank's tone was teasing, but he let the pat trail off into a sweep of his hand down Gerard's arm, his fingers squeezing the bare skin just above Gerard's glove for a moment.
"But still screwed."
It was ironic, Gerard thought, mind-wandering. Gerard wanted to be screwed, more than a little, more than anything. He hadn't been alone with Frank for more than 2 minutes all week, and while he couldn't guarantee he'd last any longer than that, not at the moment, he just wanted
Mikey's jaw worked a bit from where he was crouched by a crate of records.
Depends what the reward is, if there is one.
If your face has made the exterminate list, I'm sure there's a reward. That was Showpony coming in the door with Grace, expression unusually bleak. He shooed her across the room to where Mikey was talking to Dr. D, and let Gerard tug him back out the door.
Tell me the truth, Gerard said in a low voice. How likely is someone out here to go after that reward?
The reward? Less likely than you apparently think, but we've got all kinds out here. No, I'd be more worried that someone would get pinched by the Drax and use your crew's location as a bargaining chip. Those posters are everywhere. Sooner or later, someone's gonna talk.
If Drax found the diner, it wouldn't just be them in harm's way. It would be the rest of Frank's Harmony crew, the kids who occasionally stayed overnight. Grace. What were they going to do about Grace?
Guess that's the drawback of having these pretty faces, Gerard joked to cover his confusion.
You talking about me again?
Frank said in his ear, and Gerard jumped. He hadn't heard Frank approaching, and the puff of breath, and the hand curling gently around his waist under the hem of his shirt, startled him. Showpony eyed them both with a considering look, and an utter lack of surprise. He looked like he was dying to comment. Gerard's face felt hot, so he turned away, which, of course, turned him even more into Frank's arms.
Talking about how long we have before someone rolls over on the diner.
And us, Gerard told him miserably.
I'd rather we were talking about my pretty face, Frank replied, and it was all Gerard could do not to kiss him, but he pulled away.
I guess we've got to stay off the grid somehow, Gerard said, rubbing his eye tiredly. But, shit, Pony, the swap meet. We've got...
It's up to you, Showpony said. We'll manage without you, so unless you're low on supplies...
Gerard made a face.
Oh, well, I'd tell you to go incognito, but that's sort of a problem for you, isn't it, Party?
Frank cracked a laugh. Isn't it, Party?
Gerard glared at him, tugging a lock of hair broodingly.
Fuck it, he said finally. I'm re-dyeing it even brighter, and then we're going to the swap meet, and we'll see. I'm worried about the swap meet,
Gerard murmured into Frank's hair one night as they sat in their spot up on the roof, watching the turnoff for KK's running lights. The scarecrow presence in the zones had increased to the point where more and more smugglers were risking night runs on clear nights.
Because of the reward?
Frank turned his head and pressed his lips against the side of Gerard's throat.
The reward, the new patrols, the new cameras everywhere, they're popping up as soon as we can disable them.
He said he was watching, Frank, Gerard said softly.
And I can practically feel it. When we're zone hopping, when we're running with Grace, when...
I hope he's watching right now,
Frank growled softly, pushing Gerard over and straddling his hips.
I hope he can see my hands on you.
Of course no one was watching. It was just the two of them, alone in the dark, but Gerard could still do nothing but whimper and swear, fearful and viciously aroused, as he shuddered apart under Frank's hands. Zone Runner swap meets, for all they were planned and negotiated for weeks ahead of time, tended to bloom from the desert like a diseased flower and disappear just as quickly. Half-armed standoff, half-carnival, they were colorful and loud and prone to evaporate at the first sign of BLI infiltration. Frank offered to run interference for this one, since it was happening on the border of their territory. Gerard hadn't realized at first that what this entailed was baiting drag patrols and leading them on a wild goose chase across the desert. They were the bait, of course, and it was bad enough that they had Motor Baby with them. No one could watch her, and Gerard refused to leave her at the diner alone. But Gerard honestly thought he'd have a heart attack when Frank flipped down on one of the back seats and pulled a bazooka out of the trunk.
"This is not a fucking tank, Fungul!"
he yelled over the wind and the noise rock on the radio.
"I don't think you could drive any slower if it was, Sunshine," Frank called back. "Just hold her steady and try to drive faster than the tumbleweeds, will ya?"
Gerard gritted his teeth and averted his eyes from the rearview mirror, especially as Frank and Grace both popped up through the T-tops to side in on their drac pursuers. Ray had a hand clamped on each of their belts. Mikey was busy shooting out the passenger window and seemed unconcerned.
"Fucking insane," Gerard muttered under his breath. "Absolutely fucking insane."
He repeated it later when they'd pulled over to scan the area for surveillance drones, and Frank laughed.
"Motor Baby liked it,"
he said smugly, then leaned in to whisper against the shell of Gerard's ear.
"You like it."
He did. They were up early the next morning,
Frank re-dyeing Gerard's hair for him in the kitchen sink, cupping Gerard's jaw in his stained hands and licking into his mouth. Gerard didn't bother washing off the dye. He'd rather carry Frank's marks than... But no, he wasn't thinking about that. Not today. Gerard stalked around the swap meet with narrowed eyes, unashamedly eavesdropping on any conversations he could overhear, a hand hovering over his thigh holster. Motor Baby trailed along behind, wide-eyed and clutching Mikey's portable radio, tuned to WKIL and trickling bursts of music. He wondered what the circus atmosphere looked like to someone like her, someone who couldn't remember before. Before BLI, before everything went black and white. Frank found them after a few hours, slipping through the crowd and touching Gerard's wrist. He had that devilish gleam in his eye again, and he bent down and whispered into Grace's ear. She nodded and slipped off through the crowd. Ray was two stalls over, gesturing over some circuit boards, and he tugged at one of her curls when she approached, shooting Gerard a glance and a nod. "Come on," Frank urged, and Gerard let Frank tug him back through the warren of plywood shanties until the ocean roar of voices died away. "This better be good," Gerard told him snottily, and Frank barked out a laugh.
"Oh, it will be,"
he answered, shoving Gerard up against the splintery panels and dropping to his knees in the dirt. Gerard groaned at the first touch of his hands, his eyes practically rolling back by the time Frank had his jeans open. It had been, well, not long comparatively, but longer than Gerard wanted to go since they'd done this last. Frank was addictive, mesmerizing, and only Gerard's awareness of the roving traitors just a few walls away kept him anywhere near quiet.
"Frankie,"
he murmured, over and over, threading his fingers through Frank's dirty hair. He couldn't say more. Frank's mouth, his hands, the pleased little hums Gerard could feel vibrating through Frank's throat were too fast and too much for words. Before he was at all ready, he was coming in Frank's mouth and choking on a strangled sound that resembled Frank's name. Panting, hands shaking, Gerard fumbled for the shoulders of Frank's vest and tugged, already planning his reciprocation. Frank rose to his feet, stumbling a little, and the slide of dusty denim against Gerard's oversensitized skin made him gasp and clutch Frank and press him close and still. He barely heard the noise over the twin rasps of their breath, but when he did, his fingers bit into Frank's shoulder even tighter.
"Frank!"
Gerard hissed in terror.
"Look over there!"
Frank obediently turned his head and peered into the scrub at the edge of the cleared land, then cursed.
"That's a drone,"
Gerard added unnecessarily.
"Not anymore,"
Frank said grimly, leaning back far enough to draw his ray gun. He sighted down the barrel and shattered the device with a single shot.
"They'll have units out here probably within the hour,"
Gerard said as steadily as he could.
"I don't think they'll have missed that."
He bit his lip as Frank gently set his clothes to rights, mind already showing him the Scarecrow headquarters, some pale-faced analyst with course hovering over his shoulder, and grainy footage of them on his screen. He felt sick, filled with anger and horror and pervading cold despite the merciless sun.
"No, they won't have,"
Frank replied flatly, and Gerard could hear his words from the other night.
"I hope he can see my hands on you,"
in a quiet growl. Frank had probably gotten his wish, and there was no way this particular intel would receive anything less than Course's personal attention. Caught between terror and defiance, Gerard made his choice. Gerard tugged Frank out from behind the buildings, stalking over to where Showpony was watching the proceedings from under the overhang of a power station shack, and saying without preamble, "Turn on the sirens. Everybody needs to get up and go. Drax are on their way." Showpony didn't ask questions, just nodded and whispered to the old man sitting next to him, sending the geezer limping off to the control panel on the other side of the shed. "I'll start directing traffic," he said, leaning down to tighten the laces of his roller skates. And Gerard stopped him with a soft, "Ricky." Showpony turned back. Gerard continued, "Give Doc a message to broadcast?" He scrawled down a number sequence, then a short phrase. "All public channels, unencrypted, 10-second bursts in the bottom of the hour. Got it?"
"I think so,"
Pony said as he took the scrap of paper.
"Catch me if you can,"
he read out softly.
"Party."
His eyes traveled from Gerard to Frank's stoic face.
"I don't know why, but okay."
The sirens kicked on, and suddenly the air was full of bright noise. Frank and Pony exchanged one last silent look before Frank slipped out the door. Gerard followed him through the quickly scattering crowd. Ray and Mikey were already waiting by the Trans Am when they got there, and so was Motor Baby. Gerard swore under his breath.
It was their job to run interference for the runners leaving the meet, but he hadn't been thinking about Grace being with them, and he started mentally calculating mileage. Show Pony was here solo, and he was on his skates. Gerard couldn't very well leave her with Pony, and he didn't trust anyone else with her. If he burned rubber, they'd be able to get her back to the diner before the Drax descended, he thought to himself. Once the others, the Killjoys, were inside, he sent the car careening back onto the highway, skidding through a few turns to get them onto the least-traveled access roads between them and the diner. No radio-blasting joyride this time. They were grim-faced, and all their ray guns were drawn and ready. Frank had filled the others in with a few terse sentences, and that was all they needed. The back roads ate precious time, but they were a lot safer. Unfortunately, a creek bed had washed out the back roads a few miles from the diner, and once they got that far, Gerard couldn't avoid the main roads any longer. "I doubt she'll fly, or float," Showpony had said when he'd first sent Gerard and Mikey and the Trans Am out into the zones. He wished now that she would. Maybe they were still running ahead of the Drax. Maybe. He could see as soon as he made the turn onto Resurrection Road that they weren't. Screaming white cycles arrowed their way, a sleek black vehicle on their tail spitting blue lights. Course. How had he gotten here so fast? They must have set up a command post somewhere in zone, maybe somewhere in one. It didn't matter now. They couldn't get Motor Baby to safety with Drax right on their tail, so all that mattered now was keeping them away from the diner. Gerard spun the wheel hard, sending the Trans Am into a drift on the dusty road, fishtailing onto a secondary road that led off in the opposite direction. The cycles followed, others feeding into the pursuit as they sped off down Route Guano. Gerard kept his foot heavy on the gas until he buried the needle, mouth-twisting wryly as he heard echoes of every time Frank had mocked his driving. It gave him something to think about as he clamped white-knuckled hands around the wheel, holding desperately to a steady line as Frank and Ray let loose with periodic laser bursts through the T-tops, as Mikey methodically picked off pursuers on his side. The possibility of a getaway faded with every mile. He had no destination in mind but safe and sound, and where his wheels ended up carrying them was the canyon near the Dry Sea Motel where they'd found Motor Baby. She'd hidden here before. Maybe she could hide here again. "Grace!" Gerard called out over the wind from the open windows. She leaned over the center console to listen. "Do you recognize where we are? This is where we found you. If I stop here, can you find someplace safe to hide?" "We all can," she said insistently, and he bit his lip and shook his head minutely. "You, Motor Baby. Just you. You said you'd listen," he reminded her. Mikey took down the closest cycle, and Gerard screeched to a stop just over the rise of the canyon rim. "Out, Motor Baby! Run! Hide!" He didn't watch her go, just turned, and with the rest of his team, his brothers, his friends, he spread out on foot to wait for Scarecrow to descend. And descend they did. Gerard and the Killjoys were irresistible bait. White suits swarmed, inexhaustible, like blood-sucking insects. Gerard could barely keep track of what was happening after a while. Amid laser fire, he would sometimes see the yellow and black arch of Frank throwing a punch. A smear of red, which was Mikey with his improbably functional gadgets. The flash and crash of breaking glass. It was folly, maybe, to think they could get away, but that was the difference between them and the Drax. They could think. They could choose. Today they were choosing not to run anymore. Still, when Gerard ended up facing a firing line of Draculoids, watching the feral stride of a figure in gray walking their way, the noise all faded. All noise, except for one thing. Faint but growing, the hiss of transistors, a familiar voice creeping from the speakers of a familiar boombox held by a familiar girl. Even as course closed in on them, Gerard turned to Grace and said helplessly, "I told you to run." "Not without you," she said firmly. She lifted the radio. "It's for you. He's playing you a song." Gerard listened. Beside him, Frank laughed. Gerard glanced in his direction, held his gaze for a moment while Iggy screamed about a death trip from the speakers. He still had a sardonic smile curving his lips when he turned to face course. "How convenient. All four Killjoys at last," course said coolly. "And your young stowaway. Some people in the city will be quite pleased to see you, young lady." Frank growled from behind Gerard, but course ignored him. His eyes were on Gerard. "I fail to understand why you keep defying me, Gerard. You must know how futile this is." "Maybe I don't care,"
Gerard said in a low voice. Maybe that's the point. He shifted until he was shoulder to shoulder with the others, flanked by Ray and Mikey, and watched Corse's lips quirk. Suit yourself, Corse said. He paced back and forth behind the row of Draculoids, pausing a few times to study each of them in turn. Gerard clenched his jaw and refused to let loose any of the questions, accusations, pleas bubbling up inside. Finally, Corse nudged a Drac aside. It was the one facing Mikey, and Gerard couldn't bite back the moan of protest. Corse smiled. The expression was there and gone in the blink of Gerard's eye. Then he lifted his ray gun in a curiously formal salute. Gerard braced himself to draw. He blinked once, twice, and then he knew nothing more until he came back to himself in a haze of pain. Not dead, then, just stunned. He sucked in a breath, focusing slowly on the flapping tails of a frock coat. Corse was standing unmoved, untouched, flanked by Drax. One of them had Grace by the arms, and she gasped and squirmed uselessly. They'd take her, Gerard knew. Take her away and back to the battery, back to Harmony House. He was powerless to stop it. They'd been outgunned, and this had been less of a duel than a numbers game in the end. Those shots had come from all sides. He'd fight, swear, cry something if he wasn't stunned into immobility, able to do nothing but meet Corse's eyes. Corse stared back, his thoughts as opaque as ever, and then he spoke. Two words. Keep running. Keep running, he told Gerard, then left in a cloud of dust with Grace and his unit of Draculoids, left them where they'd fallen. Gerard couldn't run. He did the only thing his slowly reviving limbs would allow. He crawled, but crawling was enough to carry him to Ray, to Mikey, to Frank. They were alive, all of them, breathing, streaked with blood, stunned speechless, but alive, more or less. Gerard found himself surprised. He was no closer to understanding Corse than he'd ever been. Gerard knelt by Frank's shoulder, chest heaving as he panted air back into his abused lungs. He had to avoid the blood oozing from a cut on Frank's cheek to do it, but he rested his fingertips against Frank's mouth. Frank, the last to wake, stirred enough to press a weak kiss against them.
"I'm still here,"
he said. It wasn't the words, but the tone said, "I love you." "I know," Gerard answered. "I love you too." Behind him, Mikey wheezed like he hadn't since he was a kid, and Gerard turned to see him pressing a hand against his ribs. He was struggling to get Ray to his feet. Gerard turned back to them, taking off his bandana and handing it to Ray to press against his bloodied eye. Between Gerard and Mikey, they got Ray to his feet. Frank wiped a hand through the mess on his cheek, spat blood into the dirt, and then pushed himself to his feet as well. He threaded an arm around Gerard's waist on the other side, and between the four of them, they limped in a tangle of limbs back to the Trans Am. Gerard looked at Mikey first, then at Ray, still holding the bloody cloth to his face but standing on his own 2 feet. Finally, he looked down at Frank, resting his head on Gerard's shoulder. The same look was on all their faces. Grace was gone, and they were broken, beaten, but they were still moving, and that was something. "Where are we going?" Gerard asked him, pressing a kiss against Frank's hair. "Home," Mikey said. One by one they climbed into the Trans Am, tentative but still game, and Gerard turned the key. In the dead of night.